Amen. Got all them people singing. Takes you about 15 minutes to get all your mics put up and your music put up. I appreciate it, and appreciate my family. I want you to, got several people I want you to pray for. I won't mention names, but one, of course, Brother Jimmy Robertson. Brother Jimmy called me today and said he's having open heart surgery in just a few weeks. They don't know exactly the date, but of course he had aneurysm. They found out he had aneurysm a couple years ago, and so they are going to operate. He didn't know the exact date, but I was talking to a preacher today, and you can turn to Proverbs 23 if you would. I've never seen a time in 20 years of pastoring where there's so much need right now. And I know of a pastor right now that spoke with him this week that he resigned the church because of some family issues. And I don't, again, I think probably more than anything, just the weight of ministry over all these years, been pastoring probably 30 years. The weight of the ministry over all these years just took a toll on his family. I know of another couple right now, good, solid Christian family, been married over 20 years, and their home is in jeopardy. And the devil, he's working overtime.
Right.
And almost every single week, some from our church, I know of a couple right now, I've got a grandson, teenager, that's facing depression and has tried suicide, and trying to help them, and I'm thankful for that. But I'll say this: you need to pray for your pastor, because the more and the farther, Brother Jimmy, we get along in this thing, I think the more pressure is going to be on pastors and preachers to try to help people. And I'll say this, Brother Johnny: some things are self-inflicted wounds, and some people, you can try to help them all you want to. They ain't going to listen. Some people just want somebody to whine to.
That's right. You're right.
And I'll say this. I'll listen to you whine for a little bit, but at some point in time, I'm going to cut you off.
That's right.
Amen? I mean, at some point in time, we got to fix the problem.
Yes, sir.
Or I can't help you.
That's right.
And but we are. We're facing a very unusual, and I know this, there's always been issues in because the Bible tells us this, that we're going to be faced with different temptations, different trials. We know that, but I'll say this, Brother Eddie, some of it is just I don't understand it. Again, some of it's just self-inflicted, that we don't, it's like we're blind. People are blind. God's clearing his word. We'll say, well, I won't do it my way.
Come on.
You can do it your way.
Yes, sir.
But when you go against the word of God and do it your way, don't be surprised when God's blessing is not on it and you face situations where you're just like, well, I don't understand what to do. Well, I thought you had it figured out. And what happens, Brother Shane, people don't want to come to church. They don't want to hear Bible preaching, right? Don't want to read their Bible. Don't want to study the Bible. Don't want to pray. And here's the thing. If this won't rub y'all wrong, but probably maybe somebody watching. If you won't read the Word of God, and if you won't do what God tells you to do in black and white, right? And you've got this idea, well, I'm praying about it, I'm wanting to hear from God, you're wasting your time. The Holy Spirit of God will never go against the Word of God. So if you won't read God's word and get your instruction, well, I know the Bible said that, but I believe God wants to show me. No, you're missing it. See, that's a lie the devil tells you. God, if you'll study the word of God and just, you don't even have to understand it all. Just do it. Right? And then as you do it, as we obey it, then God starts giving us more light in the why, right? And so we got this. You know, and I'm not 100% against this, but you know, this new breed of parenting is, well, you gotta explain it where the kids understand it, and then they'll want to do it, right? Brother Charles, I think there was a time when they just said, because I said so.
That's right.
Right? And then as you obeyed, right? And I'm not 100% just do it because I think you ought to explain things to kids right. as they're ready for it.
Right.
But you're not going to explain the benefit, all the benefits of tithing to a kid at 5 years old.
Right?
Yeah. That just, you need tithe because the Bible said so. Okay. Well, then as they get older and they start seeing, giving it shall be given to you, and we can start expounding. But you don't wait till they're 20 years old and say, well, they don't understand it yet. You teach them early, right? I'm getting somewhere. Hang with me. I'm not just ranting. I'm bringing her in. Well, if we look at our kids that way, right, and Brother Matt and I were talking about this the other day, that we ought to serve God out of a heart of love, right? That's the ideal. But sometimes you just got to do stuff because God tells you to. As he and I were talking, and this came to my mind, if you tell your kid to clean their room, right? And they say, well, Mom, I don't think I want to because I'm not doing out of a heart of love. You know what you say? I don't care what your heart tells you. You go in there and clean your room, right? And then as they understand the benefit of their room being clean,
right.
Like when they're 30 years old, right? Then it's like, okay. Or as they start understanding or getting more of that parent-child relationship where they're like, my parents love me and want what's best for me, and I want to do it out of a love for them. But, we don't let kids get away with not doing what we ask them to do just because that they don't have the right motive, right? But then we look at God and say, well, don't expect me to do anything till I understand why. So when we look at books like Proverbs and we see the wisdom God is giving us, then we have to make a decision. Am I going to do it because God tells me to do it, or do I have to understand all that's behind it before I do it?
Right.
And so as Solomon is writing again to his son and giving him wisdom, his son was no different than most of us as teenagers and young men and young women. It's like, well, I want to do it my way because I think I got it figured out. And then later on in life, you start figuring out your mom and dad were not as dumb as you thought they were, and your preacher wasn't as dumb as you thought he was, and nobody understood, because really the thing is, the devil is pretty much the same, right? I mean, the temptation our kids are going through today is different, maybe magnified even more than what we went through. But our parents looked at us and thought, man, they're going through stuff we never went through. And so we can trace that all the way back down to the Garden of Eden. Satan has different tools, but he still does the same thing. And so when we get to Proverbs 23 and verse 15, the Bible said, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things.
Yes.
Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long.
Yes.
For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way.
Right.
Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old.
Right.
Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice.
Yes.
So here, it's the next few chapters. Seems like Solomon is just kind of given a machine gun of wisdom, right? It's not necessarily a theme, but in here he's talking about to his son the wisdom he's trying to share.
Right.
And he comments about wisdom in these verses, and Solomon is sharing with his son life lessons he learned
yes,
from a son's perspective.
Yes,
now, I remember, sharing with my son, and And again, I understand that I was the same way. You see the way someone's going, and you've been down that road, and you know the pitfalls, and you know the end, and you say, well, don't do that.
Right.
Sometimes people have to find out for themselves. My wife and my daughters tell me, said, something will happen. I'll say, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen here. And they'll say, Brother Jimmy, most time Dad's right. And it's not that I have all this wisdom. It's that I've been there and I've seen and I try to be observant and I see the outcome. And most things happen the same way every time, right? And so often when we listen too late. Let me say this. This is not just for the teenagers and the kids, because let's be honest. Even as adults, we have that hard-headed mentality, that stubbornness that I'm going to do it my way, when God in His Word is trying to help us that we don't make some of the mistakes. And so I'm sure, like many of us, Solomon looks back and wishes he would have done things different. I saw something the other day, and it said, it was one of those little things. It was like, well, if you could choose between having $10 million now and, you know, having knowing what you know now and going back to when you were 5 years old, which would you choose? I'd choose the five-year-old thing, right? But Charles, if I knew then what I know now, man, I'd studied,
yes.
Right? I would have done some things different, but the only way, because of our human nature, a lot of times the only way we'll figure that out is through life experience.
Right.
And that's a hard lesson, isn't it?
Right.
Now, I'd say this, young people, that when your mom and dad are trying to help you and give you wisdom and keep you from doing some things, it's not that they don't want you to have fun. It's that they know exactly what's going to happen if you go down that road, and they're trying to keep you from some heartache.
Right.
See, God does the same thing for us in His Word. And as I just mentioned with some of these situations and with others that we've been dealing with, they know what the Word of God says, Brother Ken. It's very clear. It's just, well, I don't want to do it.
Right.
Or they'll find somebody, Brother Matt, that gives them the wisdom they want to hear instead of the wisdom God gives us to help us.
Right.
And so not only of how we learn from our earthly father, but also from our heavenly father. Some of us don't, our earthly father is no longer here. We cannot glean that wisdom. God, in His wisdom, gives us His Word and gives us some counselors. I'm thankful for some godly men in my life that really helped me, and I had enough sense to listen to them.
Yes, sir.
And so here, I'll give you a couple things, four. Praise God, I get to preach a long time tonight. Number one is a father's call. Now, look at verse 15, 16. The Bible said, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the days. So a wise son, he says, rejoices his father. In other words, he makes his father rejoice.
Right.
Now, there's nothing, young person, that your parents love any more than to see you do something that honors God.
That's right.
Man, I mean, from the time kids are, you know, this tall and they say their first Bible verse and they may not get every word exactly right, but you're like, man, that's my kid, right? And then they may sing in the youth choir, or they may say a Bible verse, or they may win an award at Sunday school, and you're like, boy, and as they grow older, as you see them maturing in the things of God, that does something to your heart, right? And so Solomon's saying this, the joy of seeing children make right decisions, there's something about that. Most time we focus, Brother Brad, on the wrong decisions they make, but because it breaks our heart. But Solomon's saying, look, son, when you make right decisions, we may oftentimes focus on the wrong ones, but when you make the right ones, man, it does something to a parent to know that their kid loves God. And so Solomon stood between his father's tears and his own fears. Man, he saw his dad and David, a man after God's own heart, and what he did and how he lived and how he turned his back on God. And even Solomon followed in his footsteps. And now he's trying to pass that on to his son, saying, look, the heritage you have is of good, godly men who have made some pretty heinous mistakes. So don't do what we did.
That's right? Amen.
And so Solomon followed in David's footsteps and fell prey to strange women. And Solomon's concern was his son was going down the same path.
Right.
Now let me say this. You can blame it on genetics if you want to. But fact is, each one of us has a free will.
Right?
And so when someone says, it's like I heard a story about an alcoholic dad. The two sons, one was an alcoholic, one never touched the stuff. And the one who wanted to be just like his dad, the one who never touched the stuff, said he wanted to be the opposite. So just because a parent does one thing does not mean necessarily that it hands down to the children. Now, I'm not saying we ought to live like the devil, moms and dads. But young person, don't get in this whole mindset of, you know, it's not my fault. See, that's the generation we live in. That just the culture we live in, it's not my fault.
Right?
So a wise son rejoices his father. Listen. When we do right, guess what? Our Father rejoices.
Yes, he does.
When we do wrong, it grieves our Father.
Yes, sir.
And so a wise son, not only that, he redeems his future. In verse 17, 18,
yes.
Said, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long.
Yes.
For surely there is an end.
That's right.
Thine expectation shall not be cut off." So a wise son redeems his future. What do you mean by that? Even at a young age, Solomon is saying this, live with eternity in mind.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Ms. Marlene and I were just talking about certain people, how that, they live and they get to the end of life and they still don't see the need for Jesus.
Right.
And what happens a lot of times is they say no to the Lord over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit stops dealing with their heart. They say, "I'm okay," right? Or you live like this. You say, "Well, I'll get saved one day. I'll turn my life over to God one day." But today I want to live for me. Today I want to earn my living. I want to live my life to satisfy my flesh. I want to do what I want to do. But one day I'll give my life to God. I'm a teenager. I'm a young adult. I'm a 30-year-old, 40-year-old. One day I'll turn it over. But let me say this. The danger is once you go down that road, people very rarely, Brother Bart, they may get in church, right? Oh, they may get in church. But I said the other day, Abraham came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of Lot.
Right?
So it's a whole lot better never to go than to go and try to get out.
Amen.
Right? And so when you start thinking about eternity, that every decision that you make in life, young person, I don't care if you're 5 years old or 55 years old or 105 years old, every decision has a benefit or a consequence to it. Everyone, right? And some of those consequences you can't get back from. And so wisdom will teach us to look at a situation and say, well, here's what could happen, right? And what happens is too often we are reactive. We react, Brother Jerry.
Right.
We're not proactive, we're reactive.
Right.
This happens, so I got to do this, right? What a wise person do is examine things and say, okay, you know, I look at some Tom Brady. He just retired, maybe. He did this last year, right? Just depends on. No doubt, you don't even have to question this. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever played. Just say, man, I'm right on this one. We might argue on stuff, but I'm right on this one. But he's a student of the game. Brother Paul's like, that's a Michigan guy right there. He studied the game. He knew if this defense lined up like this, this is probably what's going to happen. And if they lined up like that, he called a play that didn't fit, he was going to change the play. He was aware what's going on. You take a guy that doesn't know and doesn't study the defense and doesn't want to spend the time to understand what the other team is doing, and he's got all the talent in the world, he's going to fail. And so what we've got to do in wisdom is look at every situation and say, well, this could happen,
yes. And
this could happen.
Yes.
Because what the devil does, he just sells you on the positive of what could happen.
Right.
He sells you the dream of what can happen.
Right.
He didn't show you the sin and the destruction that comes with it.
Yeah,
and a wise person will say, yes, this could happen, but this also could happen. I need to pray and make the wise decision, because every decision we make has a consequence attached to it or a benefit. So when we look at things in light of eternity, and Brother Eddie, we look at, I want to hear well done, good and faithful servant. You don't hear well done, good and faithful servant by serving God in the last year of your life. You earn well done, good and faithful servant when you decide in your heart, from this day forward, I'm going to live for God until the day I die. I'm not turning my back on Him, and I'm going to live by the Word of God, and I'm going to pray and seek the face of God, and I'm going to study the Word. That's how you end up with well done, good and faithful servant. Not the week before they say, well, you got a week to live. Say, well, I'm going to tear it up now, and I'm going to live for God this whole week. Well, you burned up 79 years living for you.
That's right. Go ahead, preacher.
See, if we're going to live a life of wisdom, we have to have that awareness of every decision we make.
Yes, sir.
Number two is Solomon gives him a father's caution.
Yes.
Right? Verse 19, he says, hear thou, my son, and be wise. In other words, hey, listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying. And be wise and guide thine heart in the way.
Yes.
He said, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh.
Right.
That just sounds bad, doesn't it? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags.
Right.
Hearken. Well, I'll stop right there. So here's what he's saying. Be guided by your father.
Yes, sir.
Right? Be guided. Follow. Here, watch. You can learn a lot by a man who doesn't do everything right.
That's right.
Now, dads, I would venture to say that most of us found some things that our dad did right, and we're like, I'm going to do that. Then there are things we thought he did wrong and say, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Right?
Right?
That's what Solomon's saying. He's saying, look, there's some things I didn't do right.
Right.
And he was honest with him.
Right.
Stay away from those things. But here's some things I did do right. In other words, a lot of times what happens, a kid will say, nah, my dad was not a perfect dad. My mom wasn't a perfect mom. And so I'm not going to church and I'm not serving God because they weren't perfect. Well, that's dumb. I guarantee you, every person in here has gone to Chick-fil-A or your favorite restaurant,
yeah,
and they've got your order wrong.
Right.
You didn't throw it down on the floor and say, I ain't never coming in here ever again because they messed up. Got quiet, didn't it?
Right?
So, but you know what we'll do? We'll look at somebody and say, well, you know what? They're not perfect. They're a hypocrite.
Yes.
So are you.
That's right?
Yes, no, I'm not, because at least I don't. Well, just in the words you said, at least you don't. You just proved it.
That's right. Amen.
There is nobody in this building, nobody watching on the internet, nobody that lives at your house or my house, nobody that walks the face of the earth that hadn't messed up. That you can sit there and turn your back on God and say, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to go to church because the people at church did this and this and this. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you go to hell for somebody that wasn't doing right?
Amen.
Why would you turn your back on God? I mean, if you could do it better than whoever your ideal is, then won't you do it? But it's a whole lot easier to say, I'm just going to chunk the whole thing and not do any of it because it's, then I'm not a hypocrite. What Solomon's saying is don't throw it all out. He was honest. I did some things right, did some things wrong. The things I did right, model it. The things I did wrong, do the opposite.
Right? Yes, sir.
It's no different today.
Right.
Listen, if I go back and pastor over again, there's a lot of things I'd do different. But you tell me, if you could go back and be a church member over again, I'd hope there'd be a lot of things you'd do different. Right? If you go back and be a dad again from day one, you'd do some things different. If you could do a mom, be a mom again, you'd do some things different. So, but here's what I'm saying. Don't idealize someone to the point where you get away from God because they're not doing everything you think they ought to do. That's what he's telling him. Listen, look at your dad. Look at your mom. Find the things they did right. Go, that's good. Look at the stuff they did wrong and said, you know what? They're made out of the same stuff I am.
Right.
Maybe they don't have maybe they don't have all the information I've got, right? Maybe what they were raised different, whatever. But don't throw it all out.
Amen. Right.
And that's what he's saying. He's guided by his father in the good and the bad.
Yes.
So he goes on to say this, be guarded in your friendships. I don't say it how many times we said this over the years. You either are or soon will become like the people you hang around.
Right.
Well, I've known them since I was 5 years old. Yeah, but you're not 5 years old.
Right.
You're not throwing rocks at windows anymore. They're out robbing liquor stores.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not going to turn my back on them. Well, you're going to end up in jail with them.
Yeah.
So he says in verse 20, be not among winebibbers. Now, that's pretty plain.
That's right.
Now, if you don't know what a winebibber is, it's a drinker. Well, now, preacher, I think that it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. Can you? I guess you can smoke dope as long as you don't get high,
yeah.
Right? I guess you can commit fornication as long as, you know, you don't fornicate. I mean, just, you know. We got all this. Here's the line that I see now, preacher. And, you know, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. What's that point?
Right.
There's not a person I know of. I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a little bit. You don't start drinking alcohol because you like the taste.
That's right.
Come on now. You tell me what you want. Well, I like the taste of wine. Yeah, I like the taste of beer. I like the taste of hard liquor. You a liar. You don't drink paint thinner because you like the taste.
That's right.
You drink the stuff because you want to get drunk.
That's right.
Don't give me all that social drinking. Drink water.
That's right.
Right? Well, what about the health benefits of wine? So you can get the same health benefits in grape juice.
That's right.
Stop getting your Boone's Farm, start drinking Welch's. See, the thing is, when you get around the wrong people, you'll justify just about anything, right? And so he's saying that we ought to be guarded in our friendship. Drunkenness, gluttony, and laziness are sure recipes for ruin, right? So, yeah. We'll get on that, Brother Russ. We'll get on that liquor, won't we? He didn't stop there. Gluttony. He's like, don't get around that crowd. All they want to do is consume.
Right?
Yes, sir. He said, don't get around that crowd that's a wine bibber. Watch this. Don't get around that lazy crowd.
Right.
We live in a day now, not just kids, everybody's getting lazy.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Do you realize, I think, Brother Paul, I read this right, 70-some percent of teenagers, you know what they want their career to be? Influencer. They want to make stupid videos and people watch it and subscribe and get paid to do it. That's all they want. They don't want to produce anything. They don't want to make nothing. They don't want to go learn how to weld or learn how to sell something. They want to make videos. Play video games for a living. Say, well, you're right. I guess if I could get away with it, I would too, right? That's where we live.
Come on, preach on.
You got the pandemic happened. Everybody had to work from home. Now you got people there saying, I'm not going back into the office. If you don't go to the office, you're going to get fired. That's not fair. I mean, You get around people who want to work, right? Hey, I'm talking about in church too. You get around people who love God and say, hey, let's go to work. Let's go knock on some doors. Let's run a bus route. Let's do this. Let's do that instead of the ones going, it ain't my job. Right? That ain't my job. What do you mean knock on doors? That's what the preacher, that's what we pay him for. Come on back to my office, we'll have a talk.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Better be careful who you hang around.
Well,
I tell you what, you can get messed up, right? Get messed up. People you hang around, people you listen to, young person, moms and dads.
That's right.
Huh? Hey, it's not just the children. Yes. There's a lot of folks got out of church because they hang around their own people.
That's right.
A lot of folks embrace some false doctrine because their friend at work told them, hey, check this guy out. I'm just saying, folks, you better be careful. Moving on, let's go. Get on the train. Number three is the father's counsel. Verse 22, verse 23, he said, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Listen to your daddy. And despise not thy mother when she is old. That's pretty clear. Better love your mama. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So he's dealing with this. He's telling his son, he needs to honor his mother. He deals with his mother.
Yes.
That day, family was important, and everything a child did impacted the whole family.
Yes.
Still does, by the way.
Yes.
He told his son to take care of his mother when she is old.
Yes.
It's your responsibility. Just amazes me that the day we live in, and I know that there's sometimes, listen, I know there's sometimes When our parents get older, my mom's going, we better watch your mouth, boy. That we don't have the medical ability to take care of them. But I'd say this, in a lot of cases, I don't know anybody in our church, so I'm just saying in general. It's like, well, that'll put a hindrance on what I want out of life.
Right?
They live their life, now let me live my life. That's Right? Solomon's telling his son, said, your mama took care of you, you better take care of her.
Right?
I told my mother, she could come live with us, we'd put her in the basement and throw some, she said as long as you threw some steak down the steps once in a while, she'd be happy with that. Right? Something about your mama.
Yeah.
My kids will tell you, their kids say, well, Grammy says, so don't you talk about my mama. Right? But I tell you this. I know there's a woman sitting right back there that prayed for me.
Come on. It's good.
Yes, sir.
Well, I know I broke her heart more than one time.
Yeah. Right.
I wouldn't be here today if it were not for her.
Come on.
So, mamas, when you think you don't have an impact in your kid's life, you got a big impact.
That's right.
You, in those formative years,
yes, sir.
It's usually the mother that has them.
That's right.
So Solomon's telling his son, listen, I mean, I see it, don't you? His son's going to go do his thing and live his life, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And listen, I'm not in your house anymore. And he said, listen, you better listen to me, son. Don't forget about your mama.
That's right.
Then he deals with his mind in verse 23. He said, buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, understanding. I mentioned this the other day about the principle of third generation. Yes. Think about this. David, Solomon, Rehoboam. First generation, truth is discovered and is a conviction. Second generation, truth moderates and conviction becomes a belief.
That's right.
I mean, you think about if you're the first generation Christian, you got born again, man. I thought about this today. I thought, you know, how many young preachers and young missionaries? It is breaking my heart to see these guys turn their back on what they've been taught,
yes.
What they've been brought up on,
yes.
to find some new revelation. I thought there was nothing new under the sun. So what happens is that first generation, it's a conviction. It's biblical conviction. The next generation is simply a belief. Well, I believe that. And by the third generation, it's more of an opinion. That's your view of it.
Yeah,
now, there's some things that, let me be honest, there's some things that are preference. But if it's in this book, it's not preference.
Right?
We may not understand it all.
Right.
We may not understand. And God may bring light down the road. I'm thankful for that. There's some things, man, as I look, that weren't necessarily doctrinal things. They were biblical principles, but it's not something now that I would die on that hill.
Come on.
But I'd say this. We need to be very careful when we start looking for new ideas about ministry and new ideas about Christianity and new ways of thinking about things, because they typically lead down to apostasy. And then number four, a father's comfort, verse 24 and 25. So he said all that to get to verse 24 and 25. He said, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
He that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. So he's saying this, that he's dealing with a righteous son.
Yes.
A spiritual man. It's interesting to me. I'll talk to families, moms and dads. And they'll say, I need you to pray for my son. Okay. He's out of church. Okay. He's brought up better than that, right? But, here's the but. He's got a good job. Boy, he's making a lot of money, got good benefits, on and on. And it's like, he's not a spiritual man. But at least he's making a lot of money.
That's good preaching.
I would think a good job would mean that it wouldn't keep him out of church.
Amen.
I would think a good job would have less to do with the monetary benefit and the atmosphere that would be conducive to spirituality.
Praise God.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's like, well, he's not where he needs to be, but at least he's going to have a big, big fat bank account. I'm talking about saved folk. I'm not talking.
Right.
You see what? So here he's saying this, that he wants his son to be a spiritual man.
Yes, sir.
Man that loves God, right? May not be the wealthiest man, may not be a politician, may not be an influencer, but he's a spiritual man. A man that loves God and does right. If we just had some men that would love God and do right, it would change our society. See, we've put such a premium on success, and when we say success, it means money, prestige, stuff, whatever. That doesn't matter about your morals or your ethics.
Amen.
And so, let me say this. You ready?
Go ahead, sir.
Can I? You know why we got that conglomeration of trash and junk in our nation's capital? Because we're a nation of that.
That's right.
We get the rulers we deserve.
You're right.
You say, as a nation, we got what we asked for.
That's right.
Right? You may say, well, I didn't. Yeah. As a nation, because God's people, let's be honest, we've sat back and not stood up for what the Bible says for generation, generation, generation. Now we've got both sides. You ready? I'm just going to nail all of them. Brother Paul, tell you, hey, we were talking about this. All these secret documents, they ain't the only ones.
Right?
They ain't the only ones. You better check your closet. They'll come after you too.
Come on.
You know why we got all this mess we got going on? Because we don't have righteous people.
Right.
It's all about the money, right? Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, they're saved, and you know, but they're up there dancing half naked and singing country music, but they love Jesus. No, they don't.
That's right.
They love
Amen.
Money.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, they're singing the rock music, and they're doing, but they're an actress, and yeah, they sit in a, they have a scene where they're naked,
right.
And they're using profanity, but they're a Christian.
That's right.
I think we've got a little bit too loose on what the word Christian means.
Amen.
So then we're elevating them because they're a believer. What are they believing?
Right. Right.
Then our kids see that. They'll say, well, look at that. Right?
Yeah.
I can go to Hollywood.
Right.
I can be an athlete.
Yes.
I can be this, this, and this, and still be a Christian. But look at this poor sap over here. He didn't have any money. Oh, he's at church all the time. He's at prayer meeting. He gives to missions. He's out soul winning, but he don't have nothing. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. Right?
Right.
Solomon's saying, listen, I don't want that. Solomon was that.
Right.
He said, I'd rather you just be righteous.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather just live for God. I'd rather you have some integrity and not be a ditch digger instead of a movie star, but have the integrity to be a man of God, a man that loves God and does right, one who loves God and brings honor to Him. Friend, we do realize that the days on this earth are fleeting. They're small in comparison to eternity. And what's really going to matter is not what we had here, what our position was here, but what we've laid up there for eternity. So he's dealing with a righteous man, but also a responsible man.
Yes, sir.
One who shows character.
Yes. Yes, sir. Amen.
One who brings honor.
Amen.
That's what we're missing.
Yes, sir.
Here's what we buy into. The lesser of two evils. Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, he's a whoremonger and a wine bibber. Well, at least he ain't that.
Right.
So he's got three bad things, and this guy's got four bad things.
Right?
Right?
Yep. You're right.
I'm just at the point, I'm fed up with the whole thing.
Amen.
I'm fed up with all of them. I bet we've got three or four, maybe five people in leadership in this country that I think has any sense. The rest of them is liars.
Right. You're right.
I mean Democrat, Republican, Independent.
Amen.
I don't care what you call yourself.
Right.
And we just go, well, if we don't do this, we're going to get this. Well, we did this and we still got that.
Right. You're right.
We need some righteous people,
Amen.
Some responsible people.
Yes.
And if it don't start in the house of God, where's it going to start?
Right. That's right.
Well, you can't get ahead acting like that. Well, then let's just stay behind. Right? I mean that, Brother Ken, at the end of the day, that's what matters is what our testimony for God is, not whether or not you got ahead in life.
That's right.
Listen, let me help you with this and I'm done. God's going to set everything right one day. He sure is. So, whoever you think's getting ahead and, boy, they're not living for God and look how wicked they are, you're right. But that it's going to end here. All that's going to burn up one day. Right? If you never have, listen, if you never have a Tesla or a Lamborghini or have a beach mansion somewhere, it's okay.
That's right.
All that's going to burn up.
Amen. Right.
What you got up there is going to be way better than what you got down here.
Amen. Glory to God.
So just act with character. As we're talking about, Solomon's telling his son, listen, I want a righteous son. I want a responsible son. Do you think if Solomon wants that, you think God wants that out of us?
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Yes, sir.
Just live for God. Hell, you know, what if... We watched that movie Courageous last night. If you're, that's a good movie. And I go back to that scene where that guy's at the cotton mill. And he's got a job there. And the boss man, the guy that owns the factory, comes in there and says, I want to promote you, but I got to make sure you're on my side. Remember that?
Right.
He said, now, there's going to be 16 crates come in. And I want you to log 15, not 16, because I got something I want to do with that. And he said, he has that look on his face. So he goes home, tells his wife, said, I can't do it.
Amen.
He goes back, tells the guy, he said, hey, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's lying.
That's right.
The guy said, I want to promote you because I need a man of integrity.
Amen.
See, that should be us. Shouldn't matter what the cost of not doing it is. We just ought to do it because it's right.
Amen.
We ought to be responsible because it's the right thing to do. Because it honors God.
Yes, sir.
So, the lesson we learned is that Solomon's trying to help his son, but God's really trying to help us.
Yes.
The Proverbs, the principles, are relevant for us today.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's stand together. We'll pray. The altar's open. Maybe God spoke to your heart this evening.
Yes.
Father, I love you. Thank you for the message tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your word. May we be men and women of integrity, responsible, righteous, that we would honor you.
Yes.
All that we do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. The altar's open tonight. God spoke to your heart. You come. Maybe you're faced with a situation where having integrity is difficult. You need God's help and strength. Maybe there's somebody you're praying for. As we said, they're out of church. They see themselves as, well, I'm saved. I'm not doing anything real wicked, so I'm okay. They're not living for the Lord. You know what? Best thing you can do and best thing I can do is just pray. God's a whole lot better at helping people like that than we are, because how many times have we said the wrong thing? Driven them farther away. Sweet Holy Spirit of God, He's doing His job. He's doing His job. Speaking our hearts tonight. Thank you for your word, the truth of it. May we live it. May we not reject it.
Yes.
Thank you for being so long-suffering and patient with us. We ask it all in Jesus' name.